Hello, and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. Our speaker today is Thurman Scrivener, pastor of the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, Change Your Heart and Change Your Health, already in progress.
It's in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. Now, that kingdom he's talking about is us. That's the kingdom of God. In the process, one of his debtors was brought to him who owed him millions of dollars. Now, the King James says 10,000 talents, that's $4 billion. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered him to be sold. Now look at this. This is what's very critical about this verse. He couldn't pay, so the master, that's God the Father, ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. If you get into unforgiveness, you open the doors of hell to your entire family and all of your assets. Now then, Weston. He had gross unforgiveness toward his daddy. When he told me, I said, unforgiveness is usually what kills you. I said, do you have unforgiveness toward anybody? He said, yes. I said, who? He said, my dad. He said, I hate him. I said, what in the world did your dad do? He said, my dad was a drunk. My dad would come in drunk and he would just beat my mother beyond, it's unbelievable how many times I've seen him tackle her and throw her in the floor and just pound her in the face with his fists. That's awful, isn't it? I can't even imagine a woman staying with a man that lives like that. But Weston hated his daddy. Now then, he had opened a door to him because was he one of the children? Yeah. He said he couldn't pay, so the master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and Weston was one of the children. So this was a child, and so he opened a door to the forces of darkness. And everything he owned, and to pay the debt. Verse 26. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Can't you just see this guy? I owe you millions of dollars and I don't have anything. But you just told me you're fixing to sell me and my wife and my children and my houses and my cars and my trucks and everything that I own and you're going to pay the debt. And I mean, I'm going to be sleeping on the roof tonight, or I'm going to be sleeping under the back porch tonight, or I'm going to be sleeping under a bridge tonight in the cold. Does anybody want to do that? No, I don't want to do that either. But that's what he says is going to happen to us. So I'm begging and pleading, oh, Master, please, please, you know, don't do this to me. I will pay you all. I promise I will pay you. Then his master, this will tell us about our master, how awesome he is. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave the debt. You owed me millions, and I told you today I want my money, and you said, I don't have it, but I will pay. Please. I said, oh, that's okay, Don. You're a good friend of mine. I just let you. Just, you don't owe me nothing. Just go. Now, would that be a blessing?
Thank you, sir.
Ooh, I mean, we could all say thank you. But that's a picture of mine and your debt that we owe Jesus for sin. That's what that is. That's a picture. And how much of that did he forgive us? All of it. Yeah, that's awesome. He did for you. Okay. Next verse. Then his master, left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars, and he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. So I just forgave you a few million. And you're all happy, and you turn around, there's a man owes you a few thousand, and you grab him by the throat and say, I want my money right now. Isn't that something? And that's what we do. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me, and I will pay it, he pleaded. Now, we heard another guy doing that just a few minutes ago, didn't we? But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Gee, what a nice guy. He'd just been forgiven millions, and now a man owes him a few thousand, and he won't forgive that. So he puts him in jail. Wow. Let's see what the next verse says. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Verse 32. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant." The King James says, "You wicked servant." How would you like for Jesus to call you a wicked servant? We know what happened to the wicked, don't we? And I don't like none of those things in the Bible that talks about what happened to the wicked. Because it's all bad, right? Ooh, it's bad. In fact, one place in there I really don't like it, he said, "And the wicked shall be cut off suddenly. They shall not live out their full life." I don't like that, do you? No, but it's in the book, so I know it means what it says. Wow. "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me." Verse 33. "Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Verse 35. "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." The man that wouldn't forgive, where did he go? To prison, right? And was what?
Tortured.
Now then, can you imagine being tortured in prison until you can get enough money together to pay? You're going to be there a long time, you know that? And just think, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. So I told Mr. Blair, I said, "You have to forgive your dad." I said, "The reason you have this terminal cancer is because a demon from hell." Now see, these are demons we're talking about here. Who's in charge of the demons? God is. God's in control of everything. He made everything. He runs the show, you know. So when he says, "Satan, send one of your demons to torment Thurman," guess what? Guess who's in trouble? Thurman's in trouble. Because at that point, I have no power and authority. If God sent a demon to torment me, I can do all the rebuking I want to, and it ain't going to work until I get rid of my sin. When I get rid of my sin, then I have power over that devil. But as long as I'm walking in that sin, I don't have it. So anyway, I told Weston, "You have to forgive your dad." And he said, "Well, I've got two or three other men that I kind of got a grudge against too." I said, "Well, you need to forgive them all." Now, what had this done? All this unforgiveness had brought an incurable terminal cancer into his body. And he'd already been down to MD Anderson once, and the doctors at MD Anderson told him, "You know, we need to start chemo or radiation very soon, or you're going to die. And you probably ain't going to live over 6 months, even with chemo and radiation." So anyway, when Weston came here, and I showed him these scriptures, I said, that's what's happened. You have got an unforgiveness toward your father. You have got an unforgiveness toward these other men. I said, God gives you and me as Christians one commandment. And Betty, what does it say? Love. Is that what he said? That's the only commandment we got, isn't it, young lady? Love one another as I have loved you. So when you're holding a grudge against somebody, that ain't loving them, is it? No, it's not loving them. So I told him, I said, you have to forgive your dad, and then you have to forgive these men. And I said, then you have to stand. I said, I will pray for you. I will break the curse over you. I will rebuke these demons that's in you, that's killing you. I will drive them out in the name of Jesus, because he has anointed me with the Holy Ghost and power to do that. So I'm going to speak the words of Jesus, and I'm going to guarantee you, since you forgave, that whenever I command those spirits to leave you and the healing power of Jesus to come into your body, I guarantee my prayer of faith will heal you. He said, okay. I said, now, what are you going to do tomorrow? He said, well, I'm supposed to go to MD Anderson and have them check me. So he said, I'm going to go. I said, well, are you going to let them do anything? No. I said, Weston, if you go down there, I know what they're going to do. They're going to say, Weston, you need chemo and radiation right now. And if you don't take it, you're going to die. I said, you have to make the choice right now. Are you going to obey God's word, and you're going to forgive those men, and then you're going to walk in faith with no doubt in your heart and totally trust Jesus? He said, I'm going to totally trust Jesus. I said, okay, then you'll live. But I said, if you take one chemo treatment, I guarantee you'll die. I mean, am I telling you what the Word says? Yeah. I'm not trying to tell you some crazy thing. This is right out of God's Word. So anyway, he went down there the next day, and the doctors, they examined him. And said, Mr. Blair, we're sorry, but you have terminal cancer, and we need to start chemo and radiation along with some extra medicine. He said, no. No chemo, no radiation, no medicine.
They said, but you'll die.
He said, no, a man showed me the truth in God's word. Why I had it, what caused it, I repented, and it's gone. And he prayed the prayer of faith, and he said, I have to believe and trust Jesus completely 100%. If I don't trust Jesus and Jim alone, I'm not going to get nothing from God. So that means I'm going to die. But I'm going to trust Jesus and him alone, nothing else. And so the doctor said, well, Mr. Blair, if you're still alive in 6 months, come back to see us, and we'll give you another exam and see how you're doing. Well, 6 or 7 months later, Weston went back down there. He went in there, and the doctors checked him and said, well, you are still alive. And they checked him, and when they got through, this world-renowned doctor came out and said, Mr. Blair, I don't know what you're doing, but you better bottle it and patent it, because it's going to sell. He said, why? He said, there's not a cancer cell left in your body, nowhere. That's been almost 10 years ago, and Weston Blair, which couldn't live another 6 months when he got rid of his sin, Weston Blair is still alive and well today. He's written a book about his healing, hadn't he? Yeah. So, you see, who made these statements? God did. You know, the book, God made all these statements. Now I'm going to show you something. Let's go to 1 Kings 15:11. We'll start out with. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, so did David his father. Now then, if Asa, which was the king, he did right before God, he should be on safe ground, right? He's obeying God, and that's what the scripture is. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now then, how many of you want to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord? Amen. I hope all of you. I know I do. Okay, let's go to verse 13. And also, however you pronounce that word, his mother, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. That's his mother. His mother had an idol. Well, some of the mothers in the church have got idols. You know that? We have different things that are idols. You know, we really do. I mean, you might be amazed if you walked in your house and said, God, what is it in this house that I put before you? And you better have a list, because you may be writing for 30 minutes. He very well might tell you some of the things that you're putting ahead of him.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Change Your Heart and Change Your Health, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.